And I think one thing that's become very apparent, well, two things. One is the kingdom of God as a reality is very disruptive to our lives. As a teaching, no big deal. You just file it away with all the other teachings. But when it's something the Spirit is making real to you, it is something that is very invasive. It changes us. It causes shifts within our thinking, within our person. And the kingdom of God is something that's never meant to be simply a teaching or an understanding of certain principles. It's meant to be a way of life created by the Holy Spirit. It's God's way. His kingdom is simply his presence where he reigns. Now, we all love that theory. The problem is that we have in our flesh is his presence and where he reigns happens to be in our lives because that's where he lives. So that's where the disruption occurs. And I think when we look at the kingdom of God, a problem we have is simply not recognizing a lot of what we're going through as being God dealing with our hearts, his kingdom coming forth. We tend to identify the disruption we're experiencing, the problems we're having, the people that are bothering us, or the circumstances that seem to be overwhelming us. And somehow we don't connect that with God as a consuming fire within our lives. We're living in a time now, a special time of insight and understanding. Daniel alluded to that if you read in his book, and other prophets also. A time where revelation is coming to take the scales off our eyes so we can see through God's eyes what's happening. And I just pray that we're all, you know, what do you have to do to gain that? Do you have to study harder or work harder? It's not based on your performance. It's based, I think, simply on an openness and accepting that it is an hour of revelation. It's coming forth like rain. It's coming forth like a flowing river out of our innermost being. Just be aware and drink of the understanding and the revelation that God is giving. And even in this age, you're certainly not going to see evidence of the kingdom of God in the newspapers that you read every day, or not usually. But in the midst of this world and all that's going on and all the chaos and all the problems, we're going to have an understanding that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's going to be our awareness and our focus. It's going to be our home. This is the kingdom of God. Now, the Holy Spirit we all have, and in the mission of the Holy Spirit, or the working of the Holy Spirit, is what? To lead us into all truth. And the truth, of course, is who Jesus Christ is, who the Father is. Now, we all seem to recognize when the Holy Spirit gives us illumination of the Word, right? All of a sudden, you'll be reading the Bible, and you'll see something you didn't see before, and you go, that's the Spirit giving me a revelation or understanding that my mind couldn't come up with. We tend to recognize that a lot better than recognizing the other way the Spirit moves within us. Now, the Holy Spirit isn't supposed to just teach us about truth. Lead us, that's an action word. Lead us into the reality of truth. That's where the Holy Spirit becomes a fire within us. The same Spirit that opens up all these beautiful truths that you read about in the Word also deals with your life, brings about changes, causes shifts within you. And although it's easy to recognize when our eyes are open to see something by the Spirit, am I right in saying it's more difficult to recognize when the Holy Spirit has become a fire within you and bringing about changes that you maybe don't want to see made, or you certainly don't like the disruption in your emotions and in your thoughts? God give us eyes to recognize when it's the Spirit that's causing those disruptions. I'm not saying everything you go through is the Holy Spirit dealing, but some of what we go through, probably a bigger percentage than we're even aware of, is God alive within us. So the understanding that's coming is not only will we be able to identify the disruption to our lives, we'll be able to see the source of that disruption. And when it's God, what can you do but fall on your face and say, not my will, but thine be done. There's a joy and peace that comes, even in the midst of chaos, inner chaos. And we can be going through so much, when we know it's God that's doing it, you know the outcome is going to bear much fruit, and it's a good thing. So I think with our history and what most people are in their awareness is, it's what I would call a church-centered life. And what I'm not criticizing that, because with church there are so many good things. We have the fellowship with one another, the fellowship in the Spirit. There's so much blessing that comes in identifying and being a part of the church. The kingdom of God does not do away with that. It's that and more. And with the kingdom of God, there's a shift from the church's organization to the church as a living organism, a web of living relationships where Christ is Lord and flowing. So I think when our mind's been dominated in the past by just the church-centered life, it becomes a thing where the church is somehow a mediator between us and God. You can see that with certain religions a lot stronger, certain denominations than others. But people know that God loves them, he's out there somewhere, but somehow how they perform in the church determines how they get to God or how God receives them. With the kingdom, there's nothing in the middle. It's not church-centered, it's Christ-centered. And what the church has been lacking, I think, is there's so many good things we gain from being a part of a church, but I don't think people have really gained an acceptance of their strength and who they are in God. They identify themselves as far as how they fit into the system. I don't know how many here have been in the place where maybe you didn't fit into a particular church system too well, and maybe you were ostracized from that system. What a horrible feeling that is. But that's a part of a church level of awareness. If you do what the church requires, you're accepted, you're in. But if you're one of those that can't seem to conform to the rules of the church,
thank you,
you can very quickly be out. That's not the reality of God's kingdom. And the problem is, I think a lot of people are kind of caught in the middle in bondage. They want God with all their hearts, but they're so church or so aware of the church they belong to, they don't see that that is just a vehicle, a means to an end. It becomes a final place for them. For many people, their life about God, or their thinking about God, is basically filled with thoughts about how they serve in the church, and that's it. We're at the kingdom of God. When we're in that awareness, it's something, once you leave these four walls, it becomes a stronger reality to you. It doesn't diminish until, well, I got to get back to church again and then be thinking about God. The kingdom of God is the way you live. It's there in all your problems. It's there in all the difficulties you face. When you look in the mirror and you see those flaws within your character and your personality, the kingdom of God is staring right back at you. So it's more involved with our lives than our roles in a church. So the kingdom of God is not taken away from what we've had. Church, we have the gifts of the Spirit, we have the ministry, we're able to flow in love with one another, we're able to worship together. I love this time. The kingdom says yes to that, but there's so much more. And where people have been a part of a church and never really believed that God could speak to them, that they had an individual life or that God really accepted them, but they're faithful to show up and occupy their seat week after week, the kingdom of God says no to that. It's the new covenant. You read about this in Hebrews, and it's quoted, I think, from Jeremiah. This new covenant is what? I'll write my laws in your mind and upon your heart. There'll be no need for you to say, know the Lord to one another. You'll all know me, from the least to the greatest. I will be your God, and you'll be my people. That's the thrust of the kingdom. Everyone knowing the Lord. So it brings an individual strength and anointing and empowering that simply belonging to a church cannot bring. Definite shifts occur in our thinking when the kingdom begins to take hold of us. And again, the kingdom of God, remember, was central in Christ's teaching. Go back and read the Gospels. You'll be amazed at how many times he spoke of the kingdom of God. The realm of God, his Spirit, as that begins to take over, we begin to shift from a thinking about law to being led by the Spirit. Galatians 5 says, those that are led by the Spirit, they are not under the law. But as long as we are not being led by the Spirit, then we are under the law. And a lot of people think because they rebel against the law, I don't want that legalism, I'm going to do my own thing. They're still under some law. They're still under bondage. The kingdom is that reality where we know our lives are led by Him. Therefore, the bondage of the law and legalism is not our portion. That's a major shift. We've all been conditioned to law. I know you've heard this so much the last few years. But remember, we've been conditioned for a lifetime that the law is something that we've had to do to make God happy. And just because you read in the Word or someone speaks, that's not true. That doesn't undo all those years of conditioning. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to work and bring about that shift right in the core of our being. We recognize that we are accepted fully by God because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's not by law, but by grace. And that shift has to do with us moving from trying to perform for God, doing the law, whatever our version of the law is, to being led by His Spirit, led by His love. And that's another major shift, the shift to love. In Galatians 5, it also says the law can all be summed up in one word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Didn't Jesus speak of that with the disciples before He went to the cross? What was important? What did He convey to them? Love. This one commandment I give to you, He said. Love. Love God with all your heart. Love one another as yourself. That, again, is the shift that comes about because the kingdom of God is at work within us. From our performing, trying to do things to make God happy, to embracing the reality of His love in our lives. And realizing as we exercise that love to ourselves, to one another, that's the kingdom of God at work. That's all He's looking for. So these shifts are going to continue to occur. It's like the Spirit lays an axe to the roots, doesn't it? John the Baptist talked about that. The axe lying by the roots of the tree. It's a wonderful thing to talk about, but boy, how difficult it is to accept the working in our lives. Our flesh is just not prepared for it. No wonder we have to trust God. Our minds can't be in control once we allow this work to start taking place. But the Holy Spirit is like an axe that goes right to the roots of our fears. Starts pulling them up. Why? Because perfect love casts out fear, as you read in 1 John. It changes the very core of who we are, how we've been conditioned. So we're going to see things differently. We're going to experience life differently when the kingdom of God is leading our lives. Scripture talks about the wine. What does it say? You can't put new wine into old wineskins. Why? Burst the old wineskins? New wine has to go in new wineskins? The new wineskin is the Christ. That's where the Spirit goes in. I want to tell you something. All of us have old wineskins. And the new wine goes into the old wineskin, and what happens? It bursts it. That's life. Thank God. What it means is the old wineskin is going to disappear, and all you're going to have is a new wineskin. But we don't like that process. You know, God just magically take the old wineskin away. All these years of hurt and pain in my flesh and fears, just kind of like in a moment, we want to be in some revival tent and have it disappear. Well, it's the process of God working in you. The new wine is like the rivers of living water flowing. And what's old and it can't hold it will disappear, sometimes rather painfully. But the new wineskin, who you are in Christ, will hold all that He has to say. Okay, turn with me to Matthew 13. We're going to look at some of the parables we started last week. Are you up for this?
Yes.
Okay. Parables of what? The kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And we're going to go through these and again identify how this challenges our natural reasoning or thinking. I think we can identify with this. Matthew 13, starting with verse 24. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to someone who sowed good seed in his field. While everybody was asleep, an enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, the weeds appeared as well. And the slaves of the householder came and said to him, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Where then did these weeds come from? He answered, An enemy has done this. The slaves said unto him, Then do you want us to go and gather them? He replied, No, for in gathering the weeds you would uproot the wheat along with them. Let both of them grow together until the harvest, and at harvest time I will tell the reapers, Collect the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. The kingdom of God has a different view about the problems we face, or the evil, or how to get rid of the things that bother us or we think we need to get rid of, than we have in our natural. The religious way would be, when you see the tares coming up with the wheat, oh my gosh, that's the enemy. That's not right. Get it out of there, quick. Can't grow. The church makes an issue of Satan, that the reason that we're not doing better or the world's this way or that way is because of Satan. I don't think Satan is the issue. I think when Jesus Christ finished his work, he defeated the power of death. He defeated the devil. I think the church uses that as an excuse to not have to face themselves. The problem with the church and why we're not more effective in this world has to do with us, not the devil that lies to us. So it's not the tares that are the issue. The issue is the wheat growing. And we look at ourselves and we look at our problems and we look at things that need to change. We're not wrong in identifying these things. Okay, this part of me stands against the kingdom of God. This is something that needs to go. But the kingdom of God brings a perspective on how it's to be done. God allows those problems in your life, A, to torment you, or B, so that you can grow. That seems kind of silly. We'd all take B, right? But the way we live our lives, it's like we're choosing A all the time, aren't we? God, why are you doing this to me? I prayed about this. Why is this thing still bothering me? Why hasn't this changed? Maybe I'm not praying hard enough. Maybe you're not listening to me. On and on and on we go. The truth is, God allows some things to remain in our lives so that the wheat, what is good within us, what he's doing, can grow to maturity. The kingdom of God is not about eliminating our problems so that we can have a happier life. His kingdom is focused on our growth in him. So some problems go away quicker, some remain longer. But the focus the kingdom gives us is not on what's wrong with me, but on what God is doing in me and what needs to grow. It's powerful. I mean, again, just to accept this into our lives. I mean, it's a nice parable to read. I'm sure you've heard it 1,000 times. But in our day-to-day life, what awareness do we have about our problems, about the tares, about what we say, that's what the enemy is doing? How do we relate to those things? Are we focused on the wheat and what the Spirit is doing in our heart, in our lives, and on that growing? The next parable, we're going to have to move a little quicker here with these. You guys have got to listen faster. The parable of the mustard seed, verse 31. He put before them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nest in its branches. Now, very simply, we're conditioned, I think, even in a religious way, for things to be larger than life. If God is doing something, it's got to be something that just thunders from the heavens and, you know, and that. Think about the way services sometimes are built up. Or if you get a revival going, people are looking for something spectacular. They want the fireworks going off. The kingdom of God is like what? Not only does it not appear to be larger than life, it says it's the smallest of all seeds. We need eyes opened by the Spirit to recognize it. It doesn't come into your life with all the fireworks and the bells and the whistles. It comes in, as we perceive it, very small, and something that grows within. Now, that's not our way of doing things. We want God to be spectacular. You know, we're a society that's geared for entertainment. We've got to be entertained. We've got to be, you know, things have got to be, again, larger than life. Catch our attention. Yet God does things his way. And to recognize him is having the eyes of the Spirit to see it. He talks about this in another parable, the kingdom of heaven in verse 33 is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour till it was all leavened. Again, something hidden, isn't it? It comes into your being. 3 measures, of course, spirit, soul, and body, symbolic of that. No big fanfare, right? It just gets inside, and before long, it takes over everything. That's the way it works. The kingdom of God is not an expression to entertain us. It's something that comes into our lives to take over so that we can experience who the Father is in his presence. We go down to the next one, verse 44. Now, this is a very good one. Not that the others aren't, but the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which someone found and hid. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Now listen carefully to this one. The kingdom is something hidden in the field. The field in and of itself is how valuable? Now forget about the San Diego real estate market. A field in San Diego is valuable whether anything's on it or not. But basically what this parable is saying is the field is nothing. This person doesn't go out and sell all that he has and buys the field for the sake of the field. It's for the treasure in the field. Now, what is that? How does that relate to us? What does it say in the word? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Treasure in the earthen vessel. We all want the treasure, but it says here that he bought the field. We try to separate. Well, I want God, but I can't accept the field that God comes in. I can't accept myself. You see, I'm that dry and dusty field. The kingdom of God is not some religion where you're trying to identify, well, God is this way and I want that, but I hate the way I am in my flesh, my humanity. Or I can't accept my brother and sister. Look, it's just a field there. But someday they'll be spiritual. Someday I'll be spiritual. Then I can accept it. No, you sell all that you have because you believe what Christ said. He's committed himself to your life. He is in you. The field is a field in and of itself of no value. Our flesh is flesh in and of itself no value. We are valuable because of the treasure we contained. The kingdom brings an awareness, and I think an acceptance not only of who Christ is, but who we are in him. Being able to accept and love ourselves because he lives in us and one another, that same reality. You can't have it any other way. In a kingdom level, Christ is identified with the person. We can't say, I love God, but I don't love my brother and sister or myself. John identifies that. But with religion, we can do that, can't we? We can have all the theory about God. I love God, but, you know, I can't stand the people I'm with. I can't stand myself when I look in the mirror. Kingdom of God will not allow you to do that. You give your all and you because of that treasure of who he is, but that brings with it an acceptance of the field that treasure is in. So there's a shift in our thinking and how we see ourselves and one another, isn't there? This is not some self-actualization where you just try to be more positive about yourself. Humanity is humanity. But I think too often in religion, there's almost a loathing or a hatred of the vessel, of what we are as earthen vessels. And remember, we're created in the image of God. He doesn't relate to us that way. A lot of that comes under the law, the legalism, just the negative, you know, you're no good, but try hard and maybe God will smile on you. No, he put his treasure in you because he accepts you as you are. And the kingdom's going to keep working inside till we can accept that. Again, that is jarring to our religious mindset. God accepting me as I am? Well, gee, look what I just did. Look at the thought I just had. Look how bad my field looks. He accepts you as you are because of he's in that field, of the treasure that's in that field. But God looks at it as one package. We try to dissect it. Here's the treasure. Here's my flesh. God says it's all together. And the more that we can accept that acceptance from the Father of who we are, the quicker we're going to change and experience deliverance and healing and whatever God has for us. Okay, and the next one, Kingdom of Heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. And finding one pearl of great value, he sold all that he had and bought it. We don't take the kingdom of God and say, where do I fit this into my life? Let's see, here's this part of my life, that part. I'll put it up on the corner shelf over here. We can do that with religion, can't we, or teachings. We just kind of, or church. Church fits right in here. Here's how I am on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and here's my Sunday, or here's my Friday night and Sunday, whatever. Everything in nice little compartments. Kingdom of God is like that pearl. When you really see it, it becomes everything to you. Because it's who the Father is. It's his kingdom. It's his presence. It's all that our heart seeks for. So we don't put it into a nice little place on the shelf. It becomes everything, the focus of our lives. That's what it's meant to do. The last one, and we'll close with this. Verse 47. The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and caught fish of every kind. When it was full, they drew it ashore, sat down and put the good into baskets, but threw out the bad. And it goes on to say at the end of the age, there'll be a separation of the good and evil. Part I want us to focus on is the kingdom of God is like a net that was thrown into sea and caught fish of every kind. The thrust of the kingdom is an inclusive pull. It just draws. It's like a magnet. Now, there's separation that occurs, obviously, as the Holy Spirit deals and works with things. There's a separation of good and evil. The problem is, in our religious mindset, we tend to be exclusive. We tend to be judgmental. Instead of pulling people in, we look at them out there and say, well, I'm going to make a judgment here on whether that person is worthy to be pulled in. If that person has offended us, if we don't feel that person deserves it, we push him away. That's what churches do a lot. Am I right? You know, they pull in what they want and they push away what seems threatening or doesn't fit into the system. You know, we don't want that. That's not the way of the Spirit. The kingdom of God, believe me, will separate. It goes right to the heart of our motivations. It does a very effective job at that. But it's like a net. It's inclusive. It's like Jesus with the woman at the well. Remember that? He didn't stand and judge and say, I wonder if this woman is worthy of me talking to her. He was like a magnet. He just drew people in and exposed them to who God was. And then after that exposure, they would be dealt with as far as what they wanted to do and where their heart would lie. This is a major shift, I think, that's going to go on in our relationships and how we relate to the world around us and people. Somehow we've thought that our thinking is on the throne and we're called to be God and make judgments about who's in, who's out. And that judgmental attitude very much gets in the way of Christ functioning in love through us. We don't realize how much. His kingdom in you is a presence that's drawing in. You don't have to make judgments. You don't have to size people up. Let him be drawn to the light. And in doing that, God is able to do his work in their hearts. So I would say it's going to revolutionize our whole idea of evangelism, what it means to be a witness, what it means to belong. This inclusive, powerful draw that only God can be in the earth. It's going to draw hearts everywhere. And if we still have that old thinking of, well, this person doesn't fit into my idea of who someone that belongs in church, or look how they're acting, or look what they're saying, if we're going to be rigid like that, we're going to miss a lot of what God is doing. People are going to come in that think very differently from us, maybe act very differently. But if our focus is on him, all we're saying is, Lord, let that magnet be powerful and draw them into you where you can deal with their heart. Believe it or not, God does not need our help with our judgments. And when the family of God stops being exclusive and allows the magnet of the Spirit to draw people, like Christ said, if I be lifted up, what? I'll draw all people unto myself. Then instead of us making the judgments, the Holy Spirit can deal with hearts and do the work he wants to do. Amen. Well, his kingdom. Yes, Sue.
Can I read a scripture?
Sure.
It's Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples. But the Lord will rise upon you, and his glory will appear upon you, which and nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see.
Amen. Beautiful. Lord, as we join our hearts together, we are coming to recognize the depth of change that your presence and your kingdom means to our lives. But yet, as we recognize it, we don't draw back in fear. We welcome these changes because it's simply you moving within us, and that's what we've wanted all along. Our cry this morning is, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in our earth, in our lives, as it's already been established in your realm of heaven. Lord, help us to be aware throughout the week and all of our dealings and what we go through, to be able to be aware